Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Molchewski to the left, inside the 35. Chest high, snap, punt is blocked.
Score!
Bolden blocked it to Winovich, who catches, runs into the end zone.
Yes.
Touchdown, Patriots!
Special team score again, Michigan man. I told you, don't cut his hair, let that spirit go, baby.
All right. That's the Patriot call from the game last night. We remember those guys are insane. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Patriots beat the Giants to kick off week 6 in the NFL, 35-14. It will cap off with Packers-Lions on Monday night. We'll talk to Ryan Wood as we continue to take a look at this game throughout the morning. A little later this hour, Matt LaFleur calling Matt Stafford elite. We've got to have a conversation about that in a little bit as well, but I was watching some of this game last night at Moe's Irish Pub in Tosa as I was on the huddle with Bill Michaels and Dennis Krause, a situation I will address momentarily. But as we were doing the picks for the week, as we always wrap up the huddle, Bill's Thursday night huddle, by going through the league, I don't know if it's just that the matchups aren't good this weekend or if there's so many bad teams in the NFL right now, but there are some rough games coming up this weekend, Freems.
Yeah. Yeah, some of these games, though, I mean, it's hard to figure at you know who you should take. I mean, I looked at it and I see a lot of very small lines, you know, 2, 2.5, 3, and I don't see anything in there that is really intriguing. Yeah, I mean, none of these matchups. What's the best one of the weekend? San Francisco and the Rams?
Could be that one. It could be, I mean, Chiefs-Texans, I think, should be a shootout.
I think Philly against Minnesota is not bad.
That might be an okay one. I actually like Minnesota in that game.
Home field.
Every time that I want to bet against Minnesota, they end up squeaking out a victory.
I feel like the Vikings never have a road game anymore.
That is a very similar. Yeah, nobody in the NFC North plays on the road except the Bears played in London once.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everybody's always at home or when they play each other.
But those two matchups, I think those – I mean, Philly and Minnesota, that's somewhere down the line could – determine home field advantage in a wild card game or a playoff game. But, yeah, there's nothing really outstanding. You know, Houston against Kansas City.
Yeah, that should be an interesting
one.
Not
bad. You know what? The schedule's not bad.
All right, well, we just talked about some of the good ones. Let me tell you all the crappy ones. Sunday Night Football's the 1-4 Steelers at the Chargers.
Yeah. Why is this? You know, the Steelers, no matter what, find themselves, I feel like, at Sunday Night Football with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth at least 7 or 8 times a year. I know it's being a little heavy on that, but and then they'll throw them on Monday Night Football with our friend Joe Tessitore 3 or 4 more times a year. So do the Steelers ever play Saturday afternoon games? It's always like primetime for those guys.
It's always primetime.
No matter how bad they are.
And they're starting in primetime even with Delvin Hodges as their quarterback.
I mean, are the Steelers, okay, small market. Are the Steelers that big of a national? We're not talking the Steel Curtain here. Are they that big of a national draw that they're on national TV so much? I feel like every week, Bart, whether you know, when they play Baltimore, man, they're on national TV.
I know, but this last weekend they did, or 2 weekends ago, and it was at noon. I could not believe it.
Wasn't that amazing? Yeah, and nobody cared. But if it was on national TV, people would be making a big deal about
Steelers
that.
Steelers-Ravens is the matchup I just do not ever want to see again.
No. 6-3.
I'm tired of it. Yeah. It's annoying. But Delvin Hodges is your quarterback. The 1-4 Steelers at the 2-3 Chargers Sunday Night Football. You've got the Cowboys going to take on the Jets, who they could be getting Sam Darnold back. Titans Broncos is like as least interesting of a game that I've ever even heard of. The Falcons take on the Cardinals. Both of those teams are terrible.
And then you've got the best matchup of the weekend. I bet this ends up being the best game of the whole weekend. Redskins-Dolphins play each other. The two teams that you'd always, if you're in a survivor pool, you pick against the other team.
Yeah.
They're playing each other.
Oh, that's what I didn't get in a survivor pool this year.
Yeah, I got bounced last week. I had the Chiefs.
Did you? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that looked like on Sunday night, I looked at that one. It was a 10.5-point line. I thought, man, that's going to be a good money line play, and I stayed off it. That's not a bad play, but you took the Chiefs early, 5 weeks into the season.
I like to take the good teams early.
Okay.
I don't saving teams. See, I'm not going to save teams.
I have.
Because then you get bounced early.
I have. I've saved them, and it's worked out pretty well, but I didn't get one.
I don't like saving anything. I don't like saving money. I don't like saving people when I was a lifeguard.
Yeah. Well, I heard that story. Thank God you're not a lifeguard anymore.
I didn't like saving my virginity.
Well, that's on you.
I don't like saving the show when it's going off the rails.
Well, when it goes off the rails, it goes off the rails.
I just don't like saving a thing.
Yeah.
I'm not into saving.
How about, are you a coupon guy?
Nope. I burn coupons.
Okay.
I hate them. Coupons, Chuck.
Whatever.
You said coupons.
I call them coupons.
Well, it's a Midwest lingo.
Yeah. Well, I am from the Midwest.
Well, so am I, but I'm also an elitist.
You are?
A little Fond du Lac elitist.
Fond du Lac elitist?
Yeah, a little
bit. Come on, you grew up in a humble area.
No, Fond du Lac, if you leave Fond du Lac, you're an elitist. That's how they view you.
I feel like in Fond du Lac, nobody who goes on to college and all that, I'm not saying you have to go to college and make something of yourself, but I'm saying people go to college and all that, I feel like they never come back and live in Fond du Lac.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
they all leave.
Oh my God. This is the world?
Yeah.
What?
They go to college. I mean, this is the same thing with Oshkosh or any of these other medium towns in the city and the state. They leave for college and then they never come back and they go live somewhere else. Like my kid is going to UW La Crosse. All right. He ain't come back to he didn't come back to Lamira to live. Because he's already checking out jobs in Madison, Chicago, and Milwaukee. So I was like, oh, you're not going to live around Lamira or Fond du Lac? No. He's checking out the bigger Madison. He's checking out Madison. He wants to leave. He doesn't want to live in Lamira anymore.
God, I remember the first time I came to Milwaukee, too, after growing up in Fond du Lac.
Mm-hmm.
I was a very young kid, but you look up, oh, my God, buildings. This downtown's so huge.
Oh.
Now they've got a streetcar that goes around the whole downtown. It takes you 5 minutes.
I remember my kids were like 8 and 12, my oldest. And we went down to Michigan Avenue in Chicago for the first time. They had never, okay, now, they've been very few times to downtown Milwaukee. But imagine taking them down, kids from Lamira, down to downtown Michigan, downtown Chicago on Michigan Avenue with the craziness that happens down there. And they're like, whoa. So we did that, several years ago, about 10 years ago about that. And yeah, I could see that. I remember one time meeting a girl in a bar about 20, 25 years ago in Green Bay. And she told me the furthest south she was Appleton. She had never been to Milwaukee. And she was...
How old was she?
She was like in her 30s, early 30s.
What?
Yeah, she said early 20s. No, mid-20s, because I was probably 27 at the time. She said she had never been... She was like 25, 26. She had never been further south than Appleton.
No.
Yes. I'm telling you. There are some people like that from up north who've never been to Milwaukee. Yes.
When did you meet this girl? In like the 1840s?
No.
When travel was impossible?
Oh, like 1995.
Did you meet her before the emergence of the American Railroad?
During my good old Freems' gigolo years.
Unbelievable.
Mid-90s. Yeah. Yeah, she said she'd never been far. Needless to say, I mean, then the more you talk to her, it's like, ugh. I mean, she was a good-looking girl, but she had no substance there whatsoever. Never been further than Appleton. And I was telling her, I was like, well, I live down in Milwaukee and all that. And she goes, Milwaukee? Yes. Milwaukee, we come up here for Packer games. So, yeah. Never been further than Appleton. Imagine that.
Well, you got everything you need.
Well, she did, yeah.
You got Applebee's.
At Applebee's.
You got everything you need in that area.
Now you got Titletown and...
would you ever have to leave?
Steak restaurants, yeah.
Well, then she's never been to Moe's Irish Pub in Wauwatosa, where we were last night for the Bill Michaels huddle. And a quick story, it was me, Bill, obviously, and then Dennis Krause. Dennis Krause, long time sports anchor in this city.
Yeah.
You hear him on the Bucks calls at the home games.
I know when Dennis's first day working in Milwaukee was. July 1st, 1987. I met him in his first day in Milwaukee in the old County Stadium press box. We were covering a Brewers-Tigers game. He introduced himself. He had hair back then. And
unnecessary burn?
No. No. He just, God, he doesn't ever take, you know, joking shots at me. But he had hair back then. And he's a pro's pro. I mean, that's the best thing I can say about DK. He is a pro's pro.
He's great. And he had, for the longest time, on Charter, the round table, mm-hmm. where, you know, various people would sit with him and talk sports.
Sure.
And it was on TV if you had Charter. And you would go on there a lot.
Yeah, I'd be on there like once a month.
And I was more or less mad at you because we're partners here and mm-hmm. you never like nudged Dennis to say, hey, why I do a show with a guy. You're looking for two people. Why not have it be two people? Instead, you'd always do it with like, you know, the fourth producer down the line at a station out of Wanakee.
No, now you're going too far.
No, but, there was.
But see, I had no choice in that. Dennis would always put me with Bill Michaels, or he'd put me with, somebody else from another TV station in town, Tim Van Voren, somebody else. It was either Van Voren or Michaels I would be on there with. Once in a while, Tim Allen would be on that show. But yeah, but that's Dennis Krause. It wasn't on me.
All I wanted you to do was nudge Krause and say, hey, have Bart come on.
Well.
But you never did that.
I nudged our former boss for you coming on here to join our radio station.
Yeah, but you know me. I always want more.
Yeah. But I mean, I do this forever. Whoever goes to bat for me? Nobody ever. I help all these people out. No one ever goes to bat for me.
Me.
You. Who. When.
Well, I got you on the Wisconsin sports stream.
What? He wanted both of us.
Oh, yeah.
Because the producer of that was the producer for Krause.
All right, so anyway.
So I changed my mind on that. You know, so I used to help all these people. I was like, some of this stuff's got to come back to my way. You know? Because what happens ultimately is I help somebody out, and I get burned by it somehow. So I'm done. I'm done with lending a helping hand to people.
No, it's good.
People got to make it on their own.
Case in point is to start working at this station, I sent Chuck my resume tape, and now I berate him on the show 4 hours a day.
Yeah. Well,
you never had that.
I recommended
plan.
You to our boss. I said, hey, you know, this guy in Fond du Lac, you know, he'd like to work here part time. Little did I know, we'd have a partner someday.
So, Dennis Krause, longtime Milwaukee sports anchor. There was, you know, last night, it's like, all right, we're doing the huddle. It was a really good show. Mm-hmm. You can get it online, 1057fmthefan.com, radio.com. But we weren't talking about, like, because there was a whole summer, I think, where I was just pounding it every day. Get me on this show.
Sure.
Come on, Krause. Yeah. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Let's go. And it was never really addressed between the two of us. Dennis Krause brought it up last night towards the end of the show.
One of the things, I want to address this on the air. Bart was never on the round table.
I wasn't.
And I was told by some Charter officials that if he had been, they might not have shut down the sports channel. So it's my fault. I take complete responsibility.
Oh, Dennis.
That's pretty deep, man. That's a high note.
Sorry to everyone at Charter that lost their jobs.
If only Bart had been on, the channel would have lasted.
So look at the deep regret that Dennis Krause has for not bringing me on his show.
Well, he would once in a while, he would say on the show, he goes, he would mention your name once in a while and take a shot towards you. And then I would check off after the air after we took the microphones off, and I say, oh, all right, DK, thanks for having me on. Let me come on the show and all that. He goes, tell Bart. Maybe next time. be a little tongue-in-cheek. But, yeah, he never did have you on.
And Charter went out of business, the channel did.
I think it's one of those things that he didn't know you. He didn't know you. And the guys he got on his show were guys that he's, you know, been working here for a while.
Well, now, as you can tell, we're thick as thieves.
It sounded like, well, it just sometimes it takes a couple of meetings with somebody, and then you earn some. Yeah. You got to get to know somebody, I think, to and you know, maybe spending 2 hours with you last night, he got a little different taste. He didn't know you.
Oh, we exchanged phone numbers, and we were texting each other memes all night. Yep.
Yeah.
And into the morning, I sent him a good morning DK text.
Okay. Well, I want to get DK out for the toy drive.
Yeah, let's get him out. Let's get him
on
tomorrow.
He's not been able to come out in years past because of his affiliation, but you know, we could come on his show, but he wasn't. Now that he's on Bill's show, it's like we're going to get him out for the – I mean, Dennis has been – like a staple in this town doing sports for, like I said, well over 30 years. So, yeah, I mean, you guys sounded good on the roundtable last night.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll take Dennis over to Perkins for the Bart's Baby Oh Baby breakfast, which you can get it this weekend, guys. This is the weekend you've been waiting for. Do send me pictures of this via Twitter at WinksThinks, and I'll make sure to retweet them and comment how delicious it is. And I can say that from experience. We went there this weekend. Ryan Horvath had some. I had some. Chuck watched us eat it as he had a shrimp. What did you have? A shrimp casserole?
No.
Shrimp skillet?
Player, you should know this. Shrimp skillet. That's the menu.
Yeah, but if there's a place that's got a meal named after me, I'm eating that meal,
well,
Chuck.
Well, I'll tell you, I saw the shrimp skillet on the back of the menu, and I was like, man, because you had been talking about shrimp for several weeks prior to the Baby Oh Baby breakfast. So I went for the skillet, and it was good. Good choice.
The Baby Oh Baby breakfast, a good choice, too. Two egg smoked sausage, then two bacon strips, then two sausage links, and then you can pick hash browns or breakfast potatoes, and then you get your choice of three pancakes, a mammoth muffin, or toast. So you get all of that for $8.59. I know that in the past, people have gone out with their families. They've shared some of the meal with their kids. They've done that and then thought, I'm kind of more hungry, and then they've gotten another one. But do, when you go out this weekend, send us a tweet either at 105.7 FM, the fan, maybe at WinksThinks as well. Do want to see you guys out and about this weekend at Perkins. And again, this is any Perkins in the greater Milwaukee area. It's available for a limited time. You ask for it by name, they'll know what you're talking about. The Bart's Baby Oh Baby breakfast. Two eggs, smoked sausage, two bacon strips, two sausage links, hash browns, or breakfast potatoes as well. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurants and Bakeries. We'll talk some Badgers. They've got a big one. If you're going to sit on your couch all weekend, Freems, you got Badgers Michigan State to check out. We'll talk to Ben Wergel, BadgerInsiders.com, next.
One of the things, I want to address this on the air. Bart was never on the roundtable.
I wasn't.
I was told by some charter officials that if he had been, they might not have shut down the sports channel. So it's my fault. I take complete responsibility.
Wow, Dennis.
That's pretty deep, man. That's a high
sorry to everyone at Charter that lost their jobs.
If only Bart had been on, the channel would have lasted.
Yeah, well, this is my first time playing Michigan State. I know those guys played them a few years back, and it was a good game. But, you know, really, you know, just another tough team, another tough opponent coming into Camp Randall. And, you know, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take everybody doing their part and making sure that we're executing 100%.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. So when is the last time the Badgers took on Michigan State? It's been a while. That's Jonathan Taylor. He says he's never played them.
Jonathan Taylor seems like he escapes the media a lot. That's another story. But Jonathan Taylor's been doing his talking on the field this season, man. Scoring touchdowns. Unfortunately, I don't think he's going to win the Heisman. But, you know, the Badgers, I guess part of me thinks that this should have been expected from Wisconsin this year, because they had a Heisman-type running back rejoining the team this year. And, you know, just one of many great running backs they've had over the years. And, you know, they've demolished every opponent they've played so far. I mean, just handily. And their defense has been just phenomenal.
The really only tough game was the Northwestern game. But while the score was close, I think we all knew the Badgers would take care of that one. And now they sit at 5-0 with Michigan State looming this weekend. Ben Wergel joining us from BadgersInsider.com. You can find him on Twitter at the Badger Nation. Benny, good morning. What's up?
Hey, Ben.
Good morning, my friends. How we doing?
All right, well, Michigan State, Wisconsin's about a 10.5-point favorite going into this game. Man, it's like every team has got to come into Camp Randall and play these days. And, you know, I know they got a couple of road games, but I don't think they'll be looking ahead to Ohio State with Michigan State coming to town.
No, I don't think so either. It's the end of a long homestand for Wisconsin. They have to play the road games at the end of August. There's 5-game homestand, 6 weeks. I think it's the longest homestand they've had since the early 80s. And so there's some good tests coming up here the next couple of weeks at Illinois, especially the big one at the end of the month at Ohio State. But I think this is an important game for Wisconsin in terms of kind of defining who the identity of this team is. I mean, Chuck, you said they really haven't played anyone yet. Certainly there's a lot of hype around the Michigan game, but, you know, Michigan has kind of turned out to be a little bit of a fraud. We still don't quite know what the Wolverines are, even though they won the 10-7 grinder last week against Iowa. You know, in Northwestern, that game appeared closer than it really was. Wisconsin pretty much handled the Wildcats, made it a little interesting late. But this will be a good test for Wisconsin in terms of what Michigan State's able to do. Michigan State has put up some decent point totals here in recent weeks. They've also put together some clunkers. You know, last week in Ohio State was a little bit of a clunker for them. Now the final 2.5 quarters. The game at home that Michigan State lost 10-7 to Arizona State. Massive clunker, kind of a red flag with what the Spartans are. So, really, I think this is a game tomorrow where two teams that you're not quite sure who they are or what they are, what their strengths are. We have an idea with Wisconsin. But until they start playing better competition here and out of their comfort zone with these road games in Champaign and Columbus, I still think the identity and what these Badgers are is still kind of being written.
Talking with Ben Wergel, you can catch him on Twitter at The Badger Nation. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. It's only been one time in the last 6 years that these two teams have faced each other. The Badgers went to East Lansing. They routed the 8th-ranked Spartans at that time in the Big Ten opener, 30-6. So it's been a while since two teams have played each other. They used to play all the time, and I feel like there are a lot of games that Michigan State might have got the upper hand. I think from their perspective, Ben, that's a team, you know, they, like you mentioned, the game against Ohio State, they're kind of in there. The game against Arizona State, not good. This is a team that they all, I feel like they always, they're always about a B minus when they could be about an A minus or an A plus, but they never quite get that leap.
Yeah, and then these two teams, Wisconsin, Michigan State, have played some really memorable games here over the last decade. It feels like eons since these last two teams played. And the last time they played was the game you referenced with Wisconsin with the East Lansing. That was kind of the start of the Alex Hornibrook era, where Wisconsin pasted an 8th-ranked Michigan State team that actually turned out to be pretty poor as the season went on. You look at what Michigan State is, and they're still kind of an extension of what Mark D'Antonio is. And they're going to be a tough, defensive-minded team. They're going to try to strike a balance offensively. They kind of remind me a lot of what Wisconsin likes to do. And I think that's why these two teams, when they do play, they're usually fairly competitive games. And I think that's why this is probably the first real good litmus test for Wisconsin in terms of, okay, who are the Badgers? What can they do this year? What can they be? And this will be good. This is probably the best quarterback they're going to face. They have Michigan State's got a good wide receiving core. They have a running back that averages over 5 yards per carry. This will kind of exploit some different things with Wisconsin's defense. I'll be interested to see how the Badgers are going to be able to handle it.
I think the Badgers, you know, they have a great running game, but their defense is right now through five games best run defense in the country in a few different areas. They got 21 sacks already. They had 19 the entire season a year ago. Is this a case where the defense is feasting on bad offenses, or I mean, is this something that the defense is here to say, this is what we're going to see through the rest of the season now?
I think it's honestly a little bit of both, Chuck. I mean, just because, I mean, look at Wisconsin's non-conference schedule. They didn't allow any points to a USF offense that was in transition, a bad Central Michigan team, and then a Kent State team that's, you know, still kind of rebuilding its program. So you have three non-conference games where you don't allow points against bad offenses. I think that helps. But certainly you look at what Wisconsin did against Michigan and Northwestern, still two teams that are kind of struggling offensively. You have to tip your cap to what the Badgers are doing because, you know, in part, the Badgers helped contribute to those struggles. You like what Zach Bond has been able to do this year, I mean, how he's elevated his game in his final year. You like what the inside linebackers are doing with Chris Oren and Jack Sanborn. But where Wisconsin is better defensively this year is in the trenches. The fact that they have Garrett Rand back this year after he missed all last season with an Achilles tear is huge, and he's playing at an extremely high level. Isaiah Loudermilk was hobbled all last year with a knee injury, and Loudermilk is doing a lot of really good things off the edge. And then you have to tip your cap to what Keanu Benton has done on the interior of this line as a true freshman. I mean, Wisconsin already was kind of at a question mark at nose tackle coming into this year after Olivia Sangapulu graduated, leaving kind of Bryson Williams as the only nose tackle on the roster with any playing experience. But now Williams has gone down and has been kind of hobbled this early part of the season. Then the true freshman from Janesville has stepped right in and commanded his role and done a fantastic job. He's not appearing in the stat sheets, but where he is appearing is all those tackles that the linebackers are gobbling up. I mean, that means Ben is doing his job, sucking up double teams, opening up alleys.
for Chris Orr to have big weeks, for Jack Sanborn to make plays, for the outside linebackers to get penetration off the edge. I think the fact that Wisconsin's defensive line has been rebuilt this year and is playing at a high level has had a ripple effect to how good the linebackers are, and the fact that Wisconsin's secondary is forcing more turnovers this year than they did this time a year ago.
Talking with Ben Wergel, BadgersInsider.com. When you beat an opponent as handily as the Badgers beat Kent State 48-0, you really got to be nitpicky to find something to complain about. So I did, and I will. Graham Mertz got in again. So if you're going to go Jack Cohn, and you're good with that, Graham Mertz now has played two games. You get four before you burn your red shirt. Is there a plan for this? Are they trying to get him just some game play, because he's getting in there for, you know, eight Correct. Minutes, and I don't know what that helps or hurts. And then if something happens to Cohn, then maybe you go with Mertz. And then now I don't want them to accidentally burn his red shirt.
No, I think they're very cognizant of where things stand with Mertz. And Mertz has said on the record previously after his first game appearance that he is planning on redshirting this year. And what the NCAA did a year ago is anyone can play up to four games in a college football season and still retain a year of eligibility. So don't be surprised if we see Mertz one more time or two more times to get up to those four games and then not utilize them. I was kind of surprised we didn't see Chase Wolf in this game. We've already seen Chase Wolf earlier in the year. You know, they're going to probably do Chase Wolf the next time around as well, if they get to that point, just to kind of vary things up a little bit and get both those guys some experience. Wisconsin does not want to have to burn Graham Mertz's red shirt if they don't have to. And they're certainly not going to, hopefully, they're not going to have a brain fart and put Mertz in for a fifth game against, you know, whoever, Minnesota, Purdue at the end of the year. It's just a slip of the mind. I think they're very cognizant of what they're doing. They have a plan. They did this last year, too, with a bunch of the young wide receivers, kind of trot them out there for a couple of games to get them some experience, get them comfortable. So in case something would happen, there's not those deer in the headlights look when that player gets on the field. They kind of know what they're expecting. They've been through the speed of the game. They've seen reads. They've seen defenses, or they've seen offenses, and they can step in with an easier transition. So will Mertz play more this year? Probably. I just don't think if Jack Cohn stays healthy, you're going to see Mertz burn his freshman eligibility.
Do you think Wisconsin's got to go unbeaten into that Big Ten title game to have a shot, and obviously probably win that Big Ten title game to get a shot at the national championship? Or could they afford to maybe, you know, lose one of these games? As long as they win the Big Ten title game, they could get to the Final Four?
I think they can lose one, but it depends on who that loss is to.
Like Ohio State in 2 weeks.
Yeah, probably Ohio State in 2 weeks. I don't know who else would qualify as a good loss for Wisconsin when they still win the Big Ten. Because, you know, keep in mind, Ohio State the last couple of years has won the Big Ten and with one loss, and they haven't gotten in. I mean, their loss at Purdue last year, I think they lost at Iowa a couple of years ago. So there's certainly precedent for what has happened in the Big Ten that will keep you out of the four-team dance. So can Wisconsin have a loss? Maybe. I just think it has to be to Ohio State, and then you have to beat Ohio State in Indianapolis in order to get that berth into the college football playoff. I think that's the only way Wisconsin can navigate a one-loss road, is if that loss is in Columbus.
Ben, appreciate it. We'll check in with you next week. Always a pleasure, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Benny.
Take care, guys.
Ben Wergel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can check him out again on Twitter at The Badger Nation, the website BadgerInsiders.com. Chuck, if you'd like more of a detailed answer on that question you just asked, why don't you download the 20 Minutes of College Football podcast, put out every week, by myself and Ryan Horvath at 105.7FMTheFan.com and the Radio.com app.
What are some of the other games you guys are talking about?
We're talking Florida LSU.
Yeah.
We were talking a lot of UCF until they lost, because I was barking up that tree. We talk a lot about Horvath's big success Michigan over Iowa last weekend.
Okay,
so.
Okay. You know, this Texas-Oklahoma game.
We talked about that.
Stay away.
All the experts are saying that anytime Oklahoma is a heavy favorite, like 10, 11.5-point favorite, take the underdog. Well, take Texas.
Tom Herman doesn't lose as an underdog. I think he's undefeated or has like a loss or something like that.
You like Texas outright?
I don't like either. I'm staying away from that game. I got two plays that I really like this weekend that we'll give in our six-pack of picks.
Oh, all right.
They're guaranteed to make everybody money this weekend.
We'll do that at 9:45. I might. I screw it. I might go Oklahoma with mine.
Stay away from that game.
No, I like Oklahoma.
To me, Oklahoma's a money line play.
I'm going to take the over in that game.
Minus
first
like
half
600.
Over.
I'm taking minus 600 on the money line or whatever it is.
Please don't do that, Frames.
Give me Oklahoma.
Please don't do that.
Do you think Texas is going to win that game?
Yes. I don't want them to. I have their season win total under 9.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Sam Ellinger's the real deal, their quarterback. I like Tom Herman as the dog. Like I said, man, he does not lose as an underdog. And Texas really needs this win. I mean, their chances of getting into the college football playoff are already slim. They really need this W.
You know, we look at great Notre Dame and USC are this weekend too. That's a great rivalry game. But when you think of terrific matchups, I mean, rivalry games in college football, of course, Alabama, Auburn, Notre Dame, USC's one, although it doesn't have the spark it once had.
Milliken, St. Ambrose.
Who's that? Milliken, St. Ambrose.
Carroll College and St. Ambrose.
Sure.
I don't even know if they play, actually.
Well, Carroll and anybody. But I would say this game was right up there, this Red River
UW La Crosse, UW Eau Claire.
Is that a big rivalry?
Chuck versus Bart.
Well, that's an ongoing rivalry that's been since birth.
Well, it's because like it comes from the La Crosse-Eau Claire rivalry.
Like the Hatfields and
McCoys. Is that a big rivalry? Well, that's the biggest rivalry of Western Wisconsin.
Well, it used to be Eau Claire and Stevens Point. That's what I'm saying.
Stevens Point ain't nothing.
It used to be Eau Claire, Stevens. That was the big rival. That was the so
Spash, more like trash.
So no, Spash is the high school.
Same difference.
No, UW Stevens Point. Played Gerke Field up there.
Yeah.
Where I called my first ever play-by-play of a high school football game. Gerke Field. Yeah. But La Crosse and Eau Claire aren't rivals in basketball. I know that. I mean, at least, back in the old Ken Anderson days, Eau Claire would just destroy La Crosse. But it was Eau Claire with Ken Anderson and Stevens Point with Dick Bennett for years and years and years. But, Eau Claire's been bad in football.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. There is probably one elite quarterback in the NFC North, right? We can agree on that.
Matt Stafford.
Matt LaFleur says there are two. It's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
Hey, good morning from the 105.7 FM The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on The Fan, the Packers all set to host the Lions on Monday Night Football. Taking a look at the injury list, running back Jamal Williams returned to practice out of the concussion protocol on Thursday. Devontae Adams still uncertain for Monday night as he continues to deal with turf toe. Aaron Rodgers now on the injury report with a knee injury. He was limited at practice on Thursday, while Darnell Savage, Robert Tonyan, and Tony Brown also missed practice. Major League Baseball last night, the Astros beat the Rays 6-1 in Game 5 of the ALDS to advance to the American League Championship Series, where they'll take on the Yankees in a 7-game series. Gerrit Cole picked up the win for Houston. He struck out 10 while allowing just 2 hits in 8 innings. Game 1 of the NLCS tonight at 7:08 in St. Louis as the Nationals take on the Cardinals. NFL, the Patriots remain unbeaten with a 35-14 win over the Giants on Thursday Night Football. New England's defense cashed in on 2 New York turnovers for touchdowns as Giants rookie quarterback Daniel Jones was picked off 3 times in the loss. College football, North Carolina State tops Syracuse 16-10 on Thursday night. The 8th-ranked Badgers back in action. They host Michigan State Saturday at Camp Randall. Kickoff for that one, 2:30 p.m. NBA Bucks back at it tonight, preseason game number 3. They're a perfect 2-0 thus far. They travel to Dallas to take on the Mavericks. Tip-off at 7:30. You can read more online at 1057fmthefan.com. The update brought to you by Coach's Pub & Grill on South 13th Street. It's Friday. That means the fish fry starts at just $10.95. They got perch, breaded cod, bluegill, huge shrimp, and much, much more. Big Boy Burgers just $7.45. Now open. Coaches on Lake the Noon. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 105.7 FM The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere. Download the radio.com app. Favorite The Fan today. Aaron Rodgers, still an elite quarterback. Is there another one in the NFC North? Matt LaFleur seems to think so. And we'll tell you who here on Chuck and Winkler.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We'll get an update from Green Bay, Mike Clemens, within the next 10 minutes. We will hear from Ryan Wood, our Green and Gold Insider, around 8:20 here this morning as we continue to preview Packers-Lions, which will be on Monday Night Football. Obviously, the Packers have the edge in the quarterback matchup. I would think we mostly agree on that. They've got Aaron Rodgers. Matt Stafford for the Lions. This was the quote from Matt LaFleur there during this week. The Lions are pushing the ball down the field. Matthew Stafford, I think he is an elite quarterback. All right, so 414-799-1250, is Matt Stafford an elite quarterback?
Well, first of all, opposing coaches always talk up the other guy. They do. He's never going to say, God, Matt Stafford, he's got the capabilities of being good, but he's sure sucks sometimes. He's never going to say that. Because, again, if you beat them, then it looks better on your resume. Hey, you know, you beat a guy who's pretty good if you talk up the other team. He's not Joe Flacco, but he's not Aaron Rodgers either. But I think Matt Stafford's damn good. I think he is. I mean, he does a lot of things that you like about his game. Now, unfortunately for him, he's never won. He's never gone to the postseason or deep in the postseason. He's never done that thing. But he's been around for 11 seasons right now. And, you know, he's been off to a good start, but what has he really done? What is Matt Stafford's calling card? You have nothing to attach to his name at all.
When I think of Matt Stafford, I think of one thing. I think of he's a good fantasy football quarterback because the Lions always go down, and then in the fourth quarter, he gets 200 yards to guys like TJ Jones and Marvin Jones. And you look at his receiving group, and he, you know, I guess kind of got screwed. Calvin Johnson had enough and quit and left the league, retired. I'll say retired. It's a nicer way to put it.
He did what Barry Sanders did.
Well, yeah. And
just
then
checked out of the Lions organization.
That's how bad that franchise has been. You've got two, like, all-generation talents, and they leave early because they don't want to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not – sometimes guys retire early, like Gronk's 30, but he's retired not because the Patriots were a bad organization.
No, he's going to do porn or something. I don't know what he's doing.
He was on Fox last night.
Yeah.
He was great. Well, you know what? He wasn't great. Did you hear – I wanted to play the audio, but then I don't, because did you hear the thing about him with the Julian Edelman thing?
Yeah, no, I'll play it. I think that we can play it.
Right? Yeah, I don't think we'll get in trouble.
I don't know.
Was he comparing him to being a squirrel? Is that where that comparison came through?
Just seemed kind of odd.
It was weird. And he had jeans on with a suit coat.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait. There's nothing wrong with that, though.
No, there is.
No,
jeans and
not.
A sport coat?
There's not.
No. Jeans and a sport coat?
Yeah, this isn't like 1987 sports night. Yeah, you don't do that. That's a fashion no-no.
Whoa, what?
Jeans, do we need to have my coat? Wife on in the 8 a.m. hour to give us fashion advice here or what?
Jeans and a sport coat is the Chuck Freeman doll.
Yes. What are you talking about?
Mattel's made a whole line of them. can get Chuck in jeans and a sports coat.
You can get
Chuck in neon golf attire.
Harvey, that was never 1987. That's 2019.
Hey, have you ever seen Tom Brady with a suit coat and jeans on?
You see guys wear that all the time.
Yeah, Mark Giangreco, not guys that are.
That'll be dropping Chicago sportscasters.
Professor Gray sweatpants.
Dennis
over
Krause.
Here.
Yeah.
Professor Gray sweatpants.
Talking about
Ryan Horvath
giving
fashion
sport coat.
Advice.
Yeah, well, when I clean up, I clean up nice.
I've never seen you clent up.
Well, because I'm not going to wear a freaking tuxedo to 6 to 10 a.m. morning show.
You got to dress for the job you want, son.
Yeah. No, but if you're going to cover game.
Yeah, I want your job, and you're wearing sweatpants.
Like, what us three are in public? All right, what us three are in public, we dressed the part. Like, I you know, last night you got dressed up, I guess.
Put jeans on, and I wore a Lambeau Field
pullover.
He was
getting changed in the studio, putting on a dress shirt, and I said, where the hell are you going?
Yeah, we had to take a picture.
Oh.
All right. Well, you know, a sport coat and jeans is okay. It's very acceptable.
Okay, but what if you're going to be seen on TV? Because, like, I know a lot of guys do it, or they'll even wear, like, their gym shorts because they're news anchors and all you see is the top. But if you're going to be doing a stand shot like Gronk was last night, you got to be matching. You got to have the matching pants.
Well, if you're on network TV, but, I mean, Gronk can get away with that, I think. But if you're...
Yeah, it's Gronk.
It's Gronk. He can get away
with
anything.
But if you're on the set... But if you're on the set doing the game, if you're Joe Buck and Aikman on the set doing the game, you're not going to be wearing jeans and a sport coat.
Well, Gronk can get away with that. I guess he can also get away with this. Fox last night, Gronk.
Let me tell you something about Julian. First off, he calls himself the squirrel. You want to know why he calls himself the squirrel? Because he is a squirrel. He's furry. He's furry. He's cute. He's elusive. He's feisty. And most importantly, whenever he gets a chance, he gets that nut. Just like he gets a first down. Just like he gets the touchdown. Just like he'll give you a catch when you need it.
Oh, a little WWE animation there. Yeah.
So I guess I get the comparison now. I missed the squirrel part because I...
No, the squirrel part is just so he can say it.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly, because he didn't want to bring up the number that he loves so much. But I was like kind of half tuned in because it's Gronk, you know, and I like Gronk, but I've gotten enough of Gronk.
He's got to get him if he's going to play NFL again, which I think he's going to someday. I just never count these guys who retire.
Bob Kraft says he's hoping and praying he comes back.
Yeah, well, these guys who retire early like this, like Gronk at 30, you never completely count them out. I mean, I always thought Barry Sanders was going to come back, but I was wrong on that, and a lot of people were, and even Calvin Johnson. But Gronk, I mean, something tells me, and we know Witten came back after a year, something tells me Gronk is going to find his way back. He's going to get bored or maybe run out of money. I don't know.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We'll have more on Matt Stafford or Matthew Stafford. We'll have more on that, too, in a second. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We will hear from Mike Clemens, and we're back with all this in about 2 minutes. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
All right, place to watch all the sports this weekend. You know, we talked about a great sports week with the college football tomorrow. And, of course, the pros on Friday. There's a baseball sprinkle in there as well. The Q Club of Wisconsin. Yeah, Q Club of Wisconsin of Waukesha's Great North Side. That is Freeman's place to go, man. They got plenty of TVs to catch all the games. You can enjoy your favorite indoor games as well with a huge entertainment room. They got the pool tables, the tornado foosball, the shuffleboard, electronic darts, ping pong, and all that. And if you haven't experienced their indoor bocce ball, there's still time to sign up your league for that for the fall leagues. But check out their bocce ball courts. Fantastic. They're the first in Wisconsin to have it. But sports on all the TVs. And if you want the volume on a game, let's say, hey, you want to watch a baseball game? Hey, can you put the volume up over here? They will do it, man. Their number one thing is customer service. They're there for you. And the food is fantastic as well. What's a great sports bar without fantastic food? And at the Q Club of Wisconsin, they got it. Tonight, the award-winning fish fry. Your choice, four different styles, piled high with all the extras. They got Friday fish fry. They got on Wednesdays as well. It's so popular. They got it twice a week. Happy hour today starts at 3. The late night happy hour starts at 10. They have bands on weekends. So check out the Facebook page. I'll tell you when the live entertainment is coming up there. It's all at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, just a half mile south of I-94 in Waukesha. That's the old Highway T. So folks, get out there. Enjoy a fish fry tonight. Sports on the TVs this weekend, maybe you know, with the crappy weather. Stop and have some lunch. Watch the game on TV and enjoy their huge entertainment room as well. It's all at the Q Club of Wisconsin. Waukesha's Great North Side, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard.
Now a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are getting ready to host the Lions on Monday Night Football. Green Bay has 20 players on the injury report. Wide receiver Devontae Adams is still dealing with turf toe.
It is a major injury, so the issue is that people hear turf toe and think it's just a jam. Turf toe means that you strained, which means you tore something.
There's such a thing as coming back too early.
Yeah, 1,000%. You come back and you make it worse or have it linger throughout the season, so that's not what we're interested in doing here.
Packers running back Jamal Williams is back from a concussion that sent him to the hospital. Williams says he has no hard feelings for the Eagles' Derek Barnett, even though Barnett was fined $28,000 for his helmet-to-helmet shot. Was it intentional?
Not really bad intentions, just more of just, he's just playing in the game, you know what I mean? So, I mean, he could have not made the, you know what I mean, but it's just something on defense they teach about just urgency and just getting to the ball.
Coming off their bye, the Lions had only one player miss practice, former Packer defensive end Mike Daniels, with a nagging foot injury. Lions head coach Matt Patricia.
We got, pretty much everybody's going to go out and try to do what they can do today. So I think Mike Daniels is the only one that's out right now. We know we got a little bit of extra time here to progress as the week goes. So meetings are good. We're rolling. We're grinding. We know we got a huge challenge. They got a great team, great players, well coached. So be a big opportunity in front of us.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Ryan Wood joining us, 8:20 this morning, our green and gold insider. Bill Michaels show today, Kevin Harlan at 11, and you'll hear from Mike Clemens live at 1:20. We've got you covered all day long on a Football Friday, brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries. They're pushing the ball downfield, Matt LaFleur says of the Detroit Lions. You know, Matthew Stafford, I think he is an elite quarterback. I want to answer that question next. The question I want to ask first is it Matt Stafford or Matthew Stafford? Because I'm getting tired of this.
I just call him Matt. You know, these formal names, like when did the formal names ever start coming into our play? Like there's a kid on my kid's soccer team, they call him Edwin. Ed. When
Edwin
you're a kid,
Jackson?
You call him Ed. Huh?
Edwin Jackson?
No. But I mean Ed. Matthew? When we were kids, it was Matt. You never call him Matthew.
Well,
James, you call him Jim.
Well, isn't Jim short for James?
I didn't even know it was this.
Yeah, but you call him Jim. You would never call him James. But like my kid has got a friend, his name, they call him James.
So Jim. Woods. That's why we don't call you Charles?
Yeah, I mean, Charles, no, Chuck. CF, Frames.
Player.
Charlie Hustle, the man.
My wife doesn't like when people say Nate. She likes Nathan.
Yeah, Nate.
I call him Nate. Nate Dog.
See, your name, Ryan, there's no long or short. It's just Ryan.
Yeah, yeah. They call me Rye Bread.
Rye Bread?
Rye Bread. you keep that one to yourself.
Rhino. That's what my uncles call me. My grandpa Gordy called me Rhino.
The Rhino Sandberg.
So at Joliet Catholic, I was known as Rhino from, you know, the coaching staff, because that's what my grandpa called me growing up.
I bring this up because Horvat, Rhino, Rye Bread over there. Rye Bread's been quietly getting under my nerves.
Has he?
Yes.
I feel a little bit today.
Well, no, because he keeps doing Matthew Stafford and Mitchell Trubisky. You keep
that's
saying
their names. Mitch Trubisky came out and said he's not Mitch Trubisky.
It's Mitch Trubisky.
It's Mitch Trubisky.
No, he said you call him Mitchell.
It's Matt Mitch. Stafford.
Matthew
Matt Stafford.
Stafford.
Yes.
Matt Stafford.
Or,
no.
Wink, you and I are on the same page.
Yeah, we're on the same page. So I put a poll up last night.
Yeah.
I said, is it Mitch Trubisky or Mitchell Trubisky? 69% busted their nut and said Mitch Trubisky.
Nice. Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. Mitch Trubisky.
Mitchell Trubisky.
They're not working in the industry. If the guy wants to be called a certain thing, you call him that. Like my name, my last name, Horvat. Horvat. We're in the communications business, and everybody still calls me Horvat. Horvat. Like, get people's names right.
I think like Horvy is taking a shot at me.
No, Frames. You're allowed to. Like that's that's the charm of Chuck. Like, you're the only person that's allowed to just butcher my name like that. And you've given me the nickname Horvy, so that's fine. That's what I'm known as.
I didn't invent that.
You know what? People used to call my grandfather, my other side, Bob Horvat. They used to call him Horvy. Like, we'd go to the Moose Club on Friday nights for fish fry, mm-hmm. and they'd say, oh, Horvy, Horvy.
Okay.
I'd be like, well, Horvy, what a terrible nickname. But when you think about it, like, Horvat, not the most flattering last name. In fact, when I proposed to my wife, I said, are you sure you want to do this? And she said, marry you? Yeah, I love you. And I said, no, take on this last name for the rest of your life, because it's brutal.
You know, when you mentioned your first name, I don't even know you by your first name.
I mean, yeah, nobody calls me Ryan.
Because somebody says to me, oh, Ryan. Oh, Pfeiffer the other day said to me, Ryan. I'm like, Ryan? Oh, Horvat. Horvat? Horvy.
Just call me Horvy.
Rye Guy.
Rye Guy is actually what my mom calls me.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
How about Ryan Stone? I'm going to call you Ryan Stone.
No, Rhino.
Rye Bread.
Rhino, Rye Bread. Yeah, okay. Rye Bread.
So you were saying he was getting on your nerves?
Because he's saying Mitchell Trubisky, and I think it's Mitch, and so do 69% of you.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky.
Matt Stafford, I put that poll up too. Is it Matthew Stafford or Matt Stafford? Now, 64% of people said they call it Matthew Stafford, and then somebody alerted me to his Wikipedia page. His real name's John.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Matt Stafford's real name is John.
It's common for guys that are, that's a common name, John Matthew. I have a cousin, John Matthew, and we call him Matt. Nobody even knows his name's John. I don't know why that's so common.
I'm going to start calling Matt Stafford John.
What's your middle name again, Winks? Bart Winkler. Like, what do you pair with Bart Winkler?
Gregory.
Bart Gregory Winkler. I like that, actually.
My dad's name.
What's your dad's name? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've told you guys the story about my middle name and how brutal it is.
It's what Donald.
Yeah, but only because...
It's old school.
Oh, I hate it. Like, growing up, everybody was like, oh, Donald Duck. Growing up, though...
Nobody makes fun of people's middle names growing up.
Well, my middle name is Henry, and no one said... Nobody even knew.
Well, I'm a stud, and so that's... You know, I was like five... I was this height in, like, third grade, so nobody ever had anything on me except for my stupid middle name. My dad had the same middle name. My grandpa thought he had the same middle name, so we all got named Donald. My grandpa goes to get his license, because he turned, like, 60 or 70, whenever you got to go and do it again. Gets his birth certificate for the first time in his life, finds out that his middle name is actually David. So we were all named Donald for no reason, because my grandpa thought he was David. It was
How
Donald,
do you not know your
David.
Middle name?
Those were the times, is what he told me, is what he says.
My dad didn't even have a middle name. Yeah, my dad. My son's middle name, Brady, is Charles.
You should have named him Brady Quinn Freeman.
No, I should have named him Charles Jr.
How about Rye Guy?
Rye Bread.
How about...
I probably shouldn't have told that story. I'm going to get butchered on Twitter for that.
How about if we called you Rye Dog? Rye Pie?
Like in the past tense? Like called or call me still? I'm going to be
I'm going to start calling you Rhinoceros.
You know what? Nobody's ever called me that one.
How about the Reister?
The Reister.
My wife calls me. Never mind.
How about Ryan and Dine?
Yeah. I always tell my girlfriend, I said, if my name was Richard, would you call me Richard or would you call me Dick?
I'd call you Dick.
Well, that's what
I'd
she
call
said
you
too.
That anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Bart, Chuck, Rye Bread.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.